Hi, this is Georgie.
Hi, I'm Joe Cole.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood!
Ball's gonna bounce down, it's three in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It's Wednesday night. It's 8 p.m., May 9th, 2018. You're listening to the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. As we have been doing lately, we're deciding what we're actually a podcast about on weeks where we lose. Typically, we are a Tampa Bay Rowdies podcast, your Rowdies Talk Radio, your Green and Gold Gospel. I think in the last few weeks, we've been an Ultimate Frisbee podcast. Disc golf. And then what were we last week?
Just sad.
This week, we have decided in the pre-show chat that we are going to be a Westworld podcast, but with slightly different music.
Yeah. I mean, if road games feel like Westworld, where, you know, it's just...
It makes about as much sense as figuring out what's going on Westworld.
And just as bloody and depressing.
Wait, does that mean road games are taking place in an alternate timeline?
I really feel like it, because they're two separate teams, the home team and the road team.
Now this is starting to make a little bit more sense.
Yeah, see, we figured it out.
All right, well, good show, everybody. Thanks a lot. Tune in next week. We'll be back here on Radio St. Pete at 8 p.m. I guess we got to talk about everything. We didn't even introduce ourselves yet. This is how bad it is.
Yeah, I don't even know who I am anymore.
I was just thinking about this a second ago. This has all happened ever since we changed up the theme song, isn't it?
Yeah, I blame you.
Yeah, so we need to go back to the original?
I don't think so. Because they won when they were home and we used the theme song. So what's the difference?
Have we already doomed this week's game then? That's the next question.
It was doomed when it was scheduled on the road.
Well, yeah. Thanks a lot, USL Soccer Scheduling Computer. .com/index?query something. So remember we said last week that there was absolutely no reason to lose this game, and you know, we all predicted a win because it's Penn FC. They were just barely above Toronto and Ottawa at the very bottom of the table.
With two total goals scored, and then they scored three.
They scored two goals all season long, had not won a game, and then they scored three. Tommy Heinemann scored two goals in one game. I don't know that he scored two goals at Al Lang.
That's when he played here. It's a very good question. I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, we can pick this apart. I think if it's me. And I'm not a coach, and I hate to say this, but I think Hunter Gorski needs to be like sit a game or two and sort his head. I think the first and second goals were him just losing his man, it's hard to put a goal on just one person's shoulders, but he's a big part of that, and he's been struggling for the most part of this year, I would say, and I don't know whether it's not being able to settle with who's playing right back or if it's just, you know, one of those years for him. It happens, but I think Stu needs to sort that out, because that's obviously becoming a problem.
I mean, is this still part of the process of figuring out life without David Najum? Should it be?
No. I mean, Hunter was struggling even with Najum there. We talked. If you go back to all season, we said this defense wasn't looking right.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think Hunter is the one under the microscope there that's been at fault for most of them. So, you know, I'm not saying, like, get rid of him, kill him, whatever. Just bench him a game or two. Let him get his head straight. Like, manage him, man-manage him. And we'll get into that a bit later. But I think that's an issue that needs to be addressed. Shake up the defense a little bit. Get their heads in this game. Like, Neil, I mean, obviously, Zach has been playing out of his mind. Neil's been solid. I think Kyle Kuringa had kind of a questionable game as well. But that right side of the defense is not doing us any. They're just definitely not doing us any favors.
So what are our options at center back? You know, Tam's back there, but, and I know he practices during the week, but he, you know, he's kind of more transitioning to this broadcast side of it. Is he, you know, in a spot where he's ready? And of course, he's going to tell you, yes, I'm ready to go, you know, anytime, but is he ready to come in if you needed to make that change?
I'm sure he is actually ready. He is ready. I mean, he probably still, he seems to prep like he's going to play just in case he's going to play, because you never know when you're going to get called in.
Right.
Screw it. Go to a back three.
That's what I'm starting to wonder today, because if you take Hunter out and you decide that Tam's not necessary, maybe not the answer. Although, if you're going to make a change, like, this game might be the right time to do it. I don't know. Try a little experiment, see what happens. But, yeah, you almost back three and then put in, like, a defending mid to it would maybe drop back a little bit and give the guys some cover when they need it.
Yeah, Lance. But you can
right.
But go through. Do the 3-5-2. Just go all out. Like, it's not, nothing's working. Go a little crazy. You have the team. You have the speed. I mean, Georgie and Yakin up top. What? You got Joe Cole, Marcel Schaefer, Lance. And then you can keep Zach. You can put Junior on the far right as a wing back. And I don't know, maybe Nano or Leo. Or, you know, just go for it. Obviously, our strength should be in our attack and that midfield. So just, you know, use it. Stack it. Just go 3-5-2 and, you know, see what happens. What's the worst that happens? We don't score a goal and we lose on the road? Oh, no. It's not like that hasn't happened before.
Groundhog Day. You start calling it Groundhog Fixtures. Yeah, I actually went through last week or earlier this week. I guess maybe it was Monday or Tuesday. I'm not sure. Well, it was Tuesday because that was yesterday. But we talked about the eternal struggle the Rowdies have had on the road. And I went through and traced back to 2010 and jotted down some stats. I know you mentioned the other day, and I've got it updated with the current numbers, including this year. Overall, Rowdies have won 30 games on the road, which might be the most surprising stat.
You do realize that there's a media guide, right, that had this all broken down for you?
Well, yeah, but I have a napkin and some time on my hands. 30 wins, 39 draws, 53 losses. That's if my math works out. And disclaimer that they don't let me teach math anymore. 145 goals for and 189 against. And as you know, last year's kind of the reference point for a lot of the other teams, because that was our first year in USL. So other clubs are like, oh man, the Rowdies got to improve on that road record. Historically, last year was our second best road record ever.
Okay, so with that stat in mind, I'm ripping off the Band-Aid here.
We went 4-6-6, scored 23 and gave up 25 goals. That is there's been one season in Rowdy's history where they had a positive goal differential on the road. -2 is the lowest or the best, you know, the second best stat in that department. 4 wins on the road. We've had 5 twice. 4 3 other times. Right now, I mean, I couldn't I can't see us getting four this year at this point, but I'm just extremely discouraged right now.
It's also very early. But okay, so now with that stat in mind, that last year was our second best road year. Why are we still, like, are we really harping to fire Stu? I mean, granted, like, the, what was it, 5-0 and then 3-0 and 3-0 to, like, the worst team in the, one of the worst teams in the conference. But there's still room for improvement, obviously. But he led us to our second best in modern history road record. So,
yeah, but the bar is extremely low.
Right. Okay.
What's passing for second best?
I wouldn't.
And I'm calling it second best just on the combination of wins and goal differential.
Right.
We still had more draws, had one more draw, one more loss than our other four win seasons, two more losses than one of the four win seasons. So it's still kind of iffy up in the air. And if we go back, look at, so right now we've got one win in the road, the opening season game where both the Rowdies and North Carolina forgot who the Rowdies on the road were. Four last year. So that's Stu. Three the year before, which was his his first full year, right?
Yes, I think so.
In 16, and then 15, one road win and that was a year that was kind of split between him and Rongan, and he had what, the last third, maybe?
Yeah.
Quarter of the games. I mean, and that one road win, that was the first game of the year. That was that win in San Antonio.
Well, that team was, I wouldn't use that season for anything. That team was a broken down mess.
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on with Stu, with the partial season that Rongan was here. This went on with Ricky Hill, although he had the 2 5-win seasons.
But I think you really can't go, not to discount what the Rowdies did, but like 2012 NASL was a joke. 2013 NASL was kind of a joke. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't until 2014 or so when talent actually started, the level of play started to pick up in these leagues.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yes, it's a massive problem. But if you're, my thing is, we're what, 7-8 games into the season? About 8 games,
yeah.
I think.
Well, we've played 8 games. We're 9 weeks in.
Yeah. Okay. So we're 9 weeks in, right? It's way too early to talk about firing Stu just on road results. Last year, it seemed we had a cushion last year, which is like you can say, well, we're 8th in the table now. Well, we played how many? Our schedule last year was ridiculously front heavy for home games.
Mm-hmm.
And so it allowed us to rack up the points, and those little road loss hiccups there for a while, I mean, it didn't seem to hurt too bad in the standings and whatnot. And now we're going to have to climb. Like, I'm not all on the Save Stu bandwagon. I mean, his seat better be getting a little warm. But I don't think you can tell me that in the 9th week of the season, it's time for a change. Championship teams, don't do that. I think Mike Pendleton said it best. Like, I mean, and you said it as well. Like, it's hard to argue against doing it. I don't see the point yet. Like, I think these guys, this team especially, deserves a chance to right this ship. And I said ship with a P. and whatnot. If you, like, don't get me wrong, I have a list of grievances I would air on Stu's coaching, like man management. You know, I posed this question the other night on Twitter, like, show me a young player that has blossomed under Stu Campbell's, tutelage and leadership here.
Right.
You can't. So, yes, there's plenty of things. You know, his in-game management might be a little wonky. He did get better towards through last year. His unwillingness to change some things is an issue. I mean, I'm with you guys. Like, I will say, like, if he was fired, I can't argue against it per se. But I think it's too early. I think these guys need a chance to, you know, prove themselves a bit and, you know, maybe change the fortunes. And also, like, who do you bring in? Do you let Shane Roberts take over? Like, who coaches this team?
So I have a tab open on my browser with someone who popped in my head the other day, and I'm kind of in the same spot as you. I'm not advocating that this is what should happen. and you know, you said that's not what championship teams do. I would counter, championship teams also don't lose four games straight on the road without scoring a goal.
Oh, they might. They might. It's early in the season.
In NASL.
Yeah, I mean, we're in USL. It's similar.
It's to me, if you made that move, and like I said, if it happened, I would have understood. I'd be like, well, you know, not getting the results you're expecting from some of these teams. But a firing at that point feels almost like retribution more than solving your problem. Like, you're mad at what's happening, get rid of them, which is, you know, basically what happened with Rangan. And, you know, we ended up that season totally falling out of the playoffs too. Yeah, if you're going to make a change, cool, but it better be a change that's an improvement. There's a name that's out there that just, and like, I hadn't thought of him in about a year because that's how long, John Hark's the former Cincy coach. Not saying that's who should be the coach, but if you're asking who could be brought in, there's a guy. And when we talk a little bit sometimes about the, maybe kind of, hole in terms of a technical director or a general manager kind of guy, that's a guy who has kind of wore both caps for Cincy. Now that's what got him, relieved of his duties as far as I can remember, but there's a guy who's had the experience in those positions. So, you know, that could be a name that would be, that would pop up.
And breaking news, Jacksonville just scored in the Open Cup match. If you're wondering why we're talking about that, the Rowdies will play the winner of that match, and Jacksonville just scored.
Now, if the score holds, we've got to go out of state.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's another road game? But anyway.
Probably a loss. I don't know.
To your point, that's not a bad shout. But the question is, like, the real question is, can somebody actually solve the road woes?
That's the thing. Yeah, like, I don't know that he's the guy. And you know, everyone kind of assumed that when he left Cincinnati last year that, you know, he'd be the first guy hired somewhere when someone else in U.S. soccer, not the soccer federation, but, you know, a U.S. soccer team needed a coach. And that, that hasn't happened. So whatever's out there on him that has kept him from getting hired for jobs, I mean, it could just be the combination of what clubs were looking and what he's looking for. I don't know, but that would be if a change were to happen at some point, that would be a name I would not be surprised to hear, I would say.
Yeah, I wouldn't be upset about it. I wouldn't mind, but it's so hard. Like, you know, we got a team built around Stuart Campbell's philosophy, whatever that
right.
is.
Whatever it is from week to week, it feels like.
I mean, there seems to be, but well, you shouldn't say that. It's the same thing every week.
Yeah.
And that's part of the problem. You know, teams are learning how to exploit it. And obviously, if Penn FC and just tore us apart, like we were, it was just, it hurt to watch that game. I was pretty angry post game, but
I was at Universal drinking butter beers with the eighth graders.
Yeah, I was here.
It feels like I made the better choice.
Yeah, you did, because that game was terrible. Like a champion, I will say. I mean, a championship team shouldn't lose like that to a team like Penn FC, but it was just. It was ugly. It was bad, and things need to change. Like, you know, I don't remember off the top of my head because I was too annoyed. But like, I don't think we made changes early enough. Like, we were down 2-0, and Stewart was just kind of sitting on it. Just at that point, what you're either gonna, you know, you're yeah. either gonna lose by more. Or, you know what I mean? Like, just go for it. At a certain
exactly.
point, like, at 55 minutes, if you were down, I have a computer in front of me. I can bring up stuff.
Just go line change at that point. Bring in three subs at once.
Yeah, you know, or you can sit on the third for, like, 10 minutes. But
yeah, see if you get a goal or two back, maybe.
Yeah, you know, and let me see. That's the standings. I hit the wrong button. Like, you just... He sat on... and that's, I think, the most frustrating thing is it sometimes feels like the Ricky Hill school of substitutes. And that was a problem back then, and it's a problem now. Like, let's see. Tommy Heinemann, yeah, 57th minute. We were down by two in the 25th minute. And then in the 57th, we were three down. And okay, so 57th minute, we're down 3-0. We made a double change in the 61st minute.
Okay, so maybe letting guys get warmed up still or something.
I think you make one change, at least one change and right. a half already, right? Like, you're on the road, just go for it. Like, just screw it, go for it.
All right. So, next question: is it time finally for the panic button?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, we said last week if you didn't get a win out of that game, yeah. Is the season absolutely over? No, of course not. There's still a ton more games, 30-something more, whatever it is. But something's got to change because, it's not like in previous years where we said, well, there's, five guys injured and we're playing.
Everybody's healthy.
Yeah, everyone except Najem is healthy. We're down one guy. There's nothing you can point to. And Stu finally kind of said it in the post-game comments, and I think it's the first time we've seen him kind of be visibly externally upset with the team, saying something outside of the locker room about the effort. There was a whole lot made about bringing in some of these guys to solve some of the goal-scoring problems that we had last year.
But who... Okay, so Guinzotti was here last year. Christoph was here last year. Junior...
Bringing back Leo, bringing in Graf and Junior were, these were the goal-scoring guys.
Can you... you can't blame Graf. He got... Yeah, stardom. That's the thing. I was going to say, he didn't put Jokinen in until the 78th minute. You're down 3-0, and you don't put a new... You don't add another striker until the 78th minute?
If these are the guys you went and specifically brought in and identified as being the solution to your goal scoring problems, they can't score if they're not playing.
Right. Like, Yock's got, let me see if I can, I need to, 2018, blah, blah, blah. He's played 104 minutes in 8 games. Yeah.
For a guy who did what he did in Rochester of all places last year, like, this is a guy that I kind of expected would be, a leading contender to start when the season started.
And here's my thing. Okay. This isn't a dig at Martin Patterson, right? Martin Patterson was good. He was fun to watch. He scored goals, but he was the definition of a super sub, right? He came on late in games and scored goals.
Right.
But yet, for a streak there, for a long period of time, we decided to put Georgie on the left and put Martin Patterson up top. And that's when he would cool off, is when he was playing all 90, which is weird. But this, I'm like, why aren't we doing that with Jok, who's a proven goal scorer, and he probably needs, 90 minutes, and, let him get into a game, let him wear down the defense a bit. And you still have Georgie on the left or the right. You can put Leo on the right instead of Junior, and let those three have at it.
Yeah, Patterson absolutely strikes me as a guy who you think in your head maybe he's a starter because of what he does when he comes off the bench, but I think he does what he does off the bench because he's mad he doesn't start. He's fired up about it. He wants to prove something, and then if he's handed the starting spot, then you start to see that cool off a little bit because he's hit that target. So,
or he just doesn't have the legs for the 90 anymore, and he comes in against a tired defense and tears it up. And that's fine. Be a super sub. That's great. But I think Jok needs 90 minutes, and we should be either switching up the formation to utilize two great goal scorers in Georgie and Graf and see what works. Like, use the system to fit the play. You make a system to fit the players, especially if it's your original system isn't working, right? Like, have a plan B.
On one hand, I kind of see I see what the thought is with Jokinen is that he's a guy that comes in, he's very physical, he runs, just nonstop, presses the other team a lot, and the idea is bring him on when they're tired, force him into a mistake, and let him get a goal. But he can do that from the beginning too.
Right. Let him do his thing from the beginning. At least let him try at this point. Like.
Right.
Nothing else is working. Give the guy, you brought in to score goals, a chance to score some dang goals.
Is there any point in doing Good, Bad, Ugly at this point?
It's all ugly. It's all ugly right now. And I hate to say it because I'm sure there were some bright spots, but it doesn't feel it. No, there wasn't. What was it, like 12 or 14 shots and we didn't even get one on target or something like that? Like something absurd? And you didn't bring on your other striker until the 78th minute. It's just, I don't know, man. Just, I don't
know. Last four road matches. No goals scored, and then something like 11 or 12 conceded. Against the likes of Penn FC. Who'd we play the week before? Was it Charleston?
Yeah.
No disrespect to Charleston. We should be able to score a goal.
Yeah.
New York Red Bulls, too.
Blew us out.
It doesn't make sense. And I have no idea what the solution is.
Me neither.
I'm not a coach. I'm not, I don't know. It's been an ongoing thing. It seems worse right now. I mean, we've lost road games, but we've lost them, you know, on crappy late penalty calls against New York. We've lost them, you know, giving up a late goal. But to just go out and lose the way we're losing is what bothers me. Like, losing's bad enough, but the way we're losing just doesn't make any sense to me at all.
No, I mean, and Stu probably, I mean, Stu knows his team better than anybody, and if he's calling some, you know, the effort out, but I don't think that's fair. Like, not everybody was bad, you know. There was players that were doing their thing or trying to do their thing.
Right.
But it's just frustrating. I mean,
yeah, and they're frustrated. Yeah. I guarantee it. The coaches and the players are, but yeah, there absolutely needs to be some warm seats at this point. Whether it's people in starting spots, whether it's coaching, you need that pressure to force yourself into better performances.
Right. Like, just, I don't know. The mystery of who starts and who's in Stewart's favor has been, you know, something we need a Rosetta Stone for, and a lot of it is, you know, their performance in training. Well, why don't you also look at their previous game, or, you know, say screw both of those and say maybe we should, you know, give somebody else a chance because this isn't working.
Yeah. Just the idea again that there's no plan B.
Yeah, and that's the frustrating thing, is it doesn't feel like there's a plan B. And it's weird. We had this conversation, not this early in the season, but we had this conversation last year when we were at winless in eight.
That eight-game stretch, which I don't want to repeat. But at least we drew some games in there.
Yeah, but if you notice, he subtly also then started tweaking the formation. We went to this, 4-5-1 or whatever to a more subtle 4-3-3.
Right.
And it started to actually break in our favor and whatnot. And then, you know, we start. But I think part of that was Marcel Schaefer all of a sudden got red hot.
Could use that right about now.
Yeah. I mean, we could use somebody that is actually getting the minutes to get red hot.
Right.
Or to, and, you know, actually just try something new. See what works. Get new people out there. I don't know what it is, but try something. Try, you know, otherwise you're just smashing your head against the wall and getting nowhere.
The other part of it that bugs me is it really feels with their connections that they're making in St. Pete and even across the bay in the Tampa a little bit, like they're bordering on a breakout year just for the identification of the team at home. But it's not going to happen when you're losing 5-0, 3-0, stuff like that.
Right. I don't even want to watch away games.
I mean, the Bolts are the undisputed king of Tampa Bay sports right now. But, you know, the Rays are floundering as they are. The Bucks, you know, had a draft, but then you've got to wait a couple of months till the season starts. Like, this is the prime opportunity to get your name and kind of get what you're about out there. Start getting some newer fans and bigger numbers into the stadium. They're not coming to see that. Like, no. The people who will come and watch this team despite that are already going.
Yeah.
If you're going to branch out, if you're going to bring more in, it's going to happen when you put results on the table.
Yeah. I mean, What? I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm too sober for this.
I still, you know, part of it to me goes back to the fact that we don't really have, you know, Bill calls himself the general manager among, you know, six or seven other titles, and he's doing some great stuff on the business side.
I think you're hung up on something that doesn't really matter with the GM thing. I think Stu and Lee.
But I don't think there's anybody over Stu to turn the heat up, to apply that pressure.
I think Lee exists just for that purpose. I think you undersell his role. I think he's very much
I have to be taking that on faith at the moment because I don't see any evidence.
I mean, he's pretty much the one behind the scenes running this team. Like, I would put it more on Lee to be, you know, turning up the heat than Bill. I think Lee has more say of what's going on in this than anybody leads on.
It almost feels like we're walking into another situation where Bill buys a team and immediately gives Ricky Hill an extension. Yeah. Like there's too much trust or faith being put into, someone, and not that he has earned it. I mean, we had a hell of a season last year, got back into the playoffs. He's obviously a popular guy with the players, did a lot here as a player himself, lifted the NASL championship. But at some point you can't keep living on that. And again, I'm not saying the guy should be fired, but it's easy to get off the right track.
Yeah.
After so many years.
But it's 9 games in, eight games in, let's see if he can correct it. And I think his deal's up at the end of the year. Is there really a point in firing him? If his deal is indeed up at the end of the year, there's really no point.
Well, and then, you know, some of the conversation comes back to, is the team up for sale? Like the rumors come around, is the oversight really, is the motivation from the very top on down focused on the on-field results when possibly trying to find a buyer for the team?
I feel like that's unfair. I think, you know, between Lee, Stu, everybody, maybe Bill Edwards is distracted, but I think from Lee on down, this team.
Well, yeah, when I say the very top, I'm talking about Bill.
I don't think, like, quite like the economics, it doesn't trickle down.
Right.
I think Lee and everybody wants the results. They want a championship, and I think it's unfair to say anything otherwise. I just think that, like, if indeed, I don't know his contract details or whatnot. I don't remember how the length of his deal. But if it was a 3-year deal, this would be the end of this would be the third year. Just let him finish it off, and you know, you go from there. What, like, you know what I mean? I don't see, give him the one last shot. I think he's earned the right to finish this season out if it's his last year in his contract, and then let him go at the end of the year. If he doesn't win anything, we don't win a championship, and if this keeps going. But I think, you know, again, it feels worse this year because we've had way more road games early. So the hill to climb to get to where we need to be is bigger than starting most of your season, or, you know, the front half of your season at home.
I mean, we had that 3-game stretch last year at home, and we're kind of reversing it this year with the 3-gamer on the road, which... Yeah, it could be. But then you're putting a lot of pressure on getting a lot of results in a row, you know, later on and near the end of the season when injuries might be building up, when fatigue could be building up.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying this is the best strategy in the world. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Well, it definitely is.
No, like, it's going to be an uphill battle. And, you know, I would like to say screw it. And it should have started as soon as they got out of Pennsylvania last week. And, I mean, Richmond is not a pushover, so it's going to be a fight to get some points, but, like, let's see some changes on the tactical side, and let's see some fire under these guys' butts, and let's get some points on the road. Let's score some goals on the road. You know, if you watch...
Steps.
Yeah, if you watch the hockey playoffs, we've been watching the Lightning, or maybe it might have been in the NHL 2K18 game, but they always say, like, just go out and win the first period. And then you try to win the second period, and then you try to win it. So let's do that. Let's try to win the first 45, and then try to win the second 45, and just go. Like, just do it. Just bring it down. Simplify it. Keep it simple, stupid, and just go, and we can do this. Like, I don't know. At this point, it kind of feels like a mental block that, like, we just can't do it on the road. Like, why even bother? Like,
exactly.
But you can. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Just do it. Just win the first 45, and let's go from there.
Honestly, at this point, I'd be happy with even just drawing the first 45.
No, screw it. We got to. The only way you're gonna do it is if we win the first 45. Even if we draw the first 45, it's not gonna work. Win the first 45.
I mean, drawing the first 45 at this point is almost like winning. Like, if we can just not give up an early goal.
Just yeah, but win the first 45. Just win the first 45, and then you can draw the second 45, and everybody's happy. Win the first 45, so you get that, yeah. Get that confidence, man. Get that confidence.
I always kind of laugh at when you see teams, especially it happened in all the leagues, especially around playoff time, when they have this kind of, oh, it's us against the world mentality. You know, we kind of need to do that at this point, I think, almost.
Yeah.
Nobody's... You know, play this on Thursday in training. Look, even the two idiots with the podcast are griping about us now.
Yeah,
no one likes us anymore. Go do something about it.
I know we're cheerleaders. Remember, we're supposed to...
like we're the secretly paid under the table shills, and look at what we're doing.
Yeah, right.
Wait, by the way, did you get your check this week?
I was just about to say I didn't get mine. Did you get yours?
I had one in the mailbox from George Soros, so I'm still waiting on the Bill Edwards one.
Oh yeah, that's why I'm so grouchy. I haven't got my Bill Edwards check this week.
All right, can we leave this one behind?
Yeah, let's bury it.
I've been waiting all week to just gripe about it, but also to throw it away.
Yeah.
Like, I've been listening to, like, old Cure albums this week. That's how bad it's been.
Let's just bury it like a cat.
The perfect, it's a perfect day for letting go, Daniel. Don't make me sing.
Okay, do the Eastern Conference roundup.
All right, so there is no good, bad. It's all ugly. There is no man of the match. There is no stat of the match because they would all be terrible. Eastern Conference scores, and there were a bunch of midweek games, including you have to call Penn FC the big winner this week. We'll talk about that in a second. Ottawa drew 0-0, as Ryan Sudol would say, to New York Red Bulls 2 last week while we were doing the show. Would you rather watch that or rather watch the Rowdies on the road? I can't think of a worse game to watch in a 0-0 draw. Like, no, it could be worse. It could have been at Red Bull Arena.
Yeah.
At least it was in Ottawa where there were fans. Indy dropped 2-3 to Cincinnati at home I want to say it was like Friday maybe or Saturday. Midweek, they knocked off Louisville 1-0, also at home. Toronto FC 2 lost at home to Pittsburgh 2-1. Charleston knocked off Charlotte 2-0 in Charleston. Cincinnati 4-2 over Atlanta United. Red Bull 2 and Nashville with a 1-1 draw. The Nashville fans are probably freaking out. Bethlehem Steel 3-1 victory over our opponent this week, Richmond. Pennsylvania FC then dropped 1-0 to Ottawa midweek.
I'm about to break in. It is 2. Jacksonville is up 2-0 in the 77th minute, as per Jake.
And then Pennsylvania turned around today, midday game, and won at Toronto FC 2, 1-0. So Pennsylvania had 2 road games or 2 home games and a road game in the last week. If you had told them they were going to win, they were going to come out of that with their first 2 wins and 6 points out of that 9 game span, they would have been happy if you told them it was against both Canadian teams. But they got 3 of the points against us. They've moved from, like we said last week, they were just above Ottawa and Toronto at the bottom of the table. They have now moved into the 8th position, 2 points behind your Tampa Bay Rowdies. So the rest of the standing, Cincinnati, for the first time in their history, is filling the attendance at the top of the table, 17 points. Louisville City, 1 point behind them with 16. Pittsburgh, next week's opponent, this week, Pittsburgh with 15. Charleston and New York Red Bull with 14. Indy with 13, the Rowdies at 12, and then Penn FC with 10. So slip down to seventh, still very close between here and the top of the table, 5 points out of first, but also 3 points out of the playoff positions. In the on the outside looking in, Nashville with 9 points, North Carolina FC with 8 points, Bethlehem with 8 points, Charlotte with 8 points, Richmond with 7 points, Atlanta United with 6 points, Bethlehem with 5 points, and Toronto FC. Wait, I missed something in here. I don't have Ottawa listed on here somewhere.
They're so bad, which, they dropped out.
Which means I have someone in here twice. Oh, I have Bethlehem in here twice. Oh. Ottawa, 5 points, and Toronto FC, 2 points.
Boo.
Anything surprising you besides where we are at this point in time?
No, that's about it. We're bad.
I kind of thought Atlanta was going to be better than what they've been so far.
Nah, they're a two team. I'm not too...
Yeah, but they're one team that they're drawing talent from. They got a pretty good base of a pretty good depth. At least I figured they'd have some pretty good ones. Andrew Carlton played for them a couple times. I've seen him play down here in Lakewood Ranch a few times. But we are getting a lot of questions that we were asking at the beginning of the season answered. Can Cincinnati put their NASL All-Star team together? Apparently so. Can the Rowdies win on the road? Apparently not.
I mean, let's.
Beginning of the year, Cincy was the team that everyone, you know, Cincy, us, and Louisville would be your top three. They were the one that was dragging behind everybody else. Now we've flipped, and that's us.
I mean, it's too early to say any kind of questions have been answered. I mean, other than the Rowdies being bad on the road, that was a given from the beginning. Anything can happen. You know, we were dominating the table for a while, and then we went on an 8-game winless streak and, you know, tanked down a little bit. Anything's possible. It's a long season, and it's still way too early.
Mr. Dan, I don't feel so good.
It's okay. Liverpool's in the Champions League final.
We can't even talk Liverpool today because they had that crappy loss to Chelsea.
Well, Chelsea drew, so...
Chelsea drew with Huddersfield.
Yeah, kept...
which...
relegated Swansea and kept Huddersfield up.
Yeah, and now Liverpool needs they only need to not lose to Brighton and Hove Albion at Anfield on the weekend, or just beat Real Madrid in the final, and either one of those will guarantee them
let's
Champions
beat them
League
both
football for
and,
next year.
I want
both. All right, so Richmond, let's look at them for a little bit.
Ugh.
Our first face off with them this year. Richmond last year went 8 wins, 8 draws, and 16 losses. 14th in the East, did not qualify for the playoffs. This year so far, they are 2-4-1. They lost their last match 3-1 at Bethlehem. There are a lot of familiar names and faces, including one who I think may be a good trivia answer here. Start off with midfielder Malin Roberts. Spent a lot of time with Edmonton, plays for Canadian national team. Midfielder Neil Lavati, remember when we really wanted him to come play for us?
Yeah.
Was on that Minnesota team that we beat in the 2012 for the NHL championship. Also went on to play in Edmonton, Carolina, and Fort Lauderdale. Brian, I did not celebrate in front of the Mob Shriver, who played here in Carolina, in Fort Lauderdale, in North Carolina FC, and for Jacksonville Armada. I'm pretty sure he's the only guy to have played for all three Florida NASL teams. Well, I guess not Miami, but the original NASL teams.
Well, Jacksonville wasn't really original.
More than Miami. He's the only one that's played for Jacksonville, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami.
That'll work.
Let's put it that way. No, wait. Fort Lauderdale, Tampa Bay.
Can we just shut this down now?
Forward Dane Kelly, last year's Golden Boot winner with Reno, had 18 goals. And forward Giuseppe Gentile played for Orlando City in USL, then played for San Antonio, Fort Lauderdale, Ottawa, and last year with Puerto Rico. Some of their stats, and you know, citing these last week didn't really help us out, but hopefully I'm not going to jinx this time. They're averaging about 2 goals scored in their matches. That's a line I need to change. That was from last week's preview. But they're conceding, nearly 2 goals a game on average, scoring fewer than one, and have fewer than 2 shots on target average per game. So it's not like a broken record. This is a team that we should be able to beat at home, away, neutral field.
We're losing 2-0.
We're going to drop this one 2-0. Watch.
Yeah, that's my prediction. When you ask me what's my prediction, we're going to lose 2-0.
The only person getting the bike done this week is Brian Shriver with two bicycle kick goals.
Yeah, right? Like, the bike is not getting done. Just the bike is going to stay in pieces until the Rowdies return to Alang.
The bike's rusting on the floor of the garage.
Yeah.
Do we even dare with a prediction?
I'm telling you, 2-0. That is my prediction. I'm not getting 2-0 loss. Is my prediction. Screw it. Like, that's it. Like, I hope to be proven wrong, but common sense says we don't win on the road and we don't score on the road right now. So, 2-0 loss.
We've been super negative tonight, haven't we?
You know what? Screw it. I mean, there hasn't been a silver line. I mean, okay.
No, there isn't one. There really isn't.
No, not with the Rowdies playing. Bless you, dog. Not with the Rowdies playing on the road. No.
1-1 draw.
Okay, I like your optimism.
I don't know where it's coming from, but I'm going 1-1 draw.
I'll take it.
Anything else we want to talk about?
Yes. I guess it can go into the We Love You, but it goes into they're doing, Playing With Pride is doing their thing again this year. And our man Jochen has volunteered to take part to represent the Rowdies.
We better rep. Yeah. Austin Deleuze, who plays for North Carolina FC, started this thing last year. He's gone from like 15 to about 40, almost 50. Players participating in the last week or so, and I know they're still putting some names out there. He's talking to Evan. I don't know if it's for, well, I guess it's for USL show, because that's his main show. So we had Austin on last year to talk about it. And we, a couple times last year, since no Rowdies were participating, we went and matched like all the USL players on certain weeks. But Jochen has signed up as of today. We put it out there on Twitter, we are going to match the donations by any Rowdies player. So let's talk about turning up the pressure. Maybe we can get some more guys to sign up.
Yeah, North Carolina. Be part of it. I mean, granted, Austin plays for him. But North Carolina has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players.
Then how many on the NWSL team?
NWSL, 4 on the NC Courage. Seattle Reign's got 4.
Which, considering North Carolina's recent history with that community, that's a nice statement to make.
Yeah, and MLS, Real Salt Lake has 2 people, has 2 players. Minnesota's got 2 players. So, you know, the more the merrier. Like,
yeah, I saw Wondolowski signed up today.
Yeah, like Wondolowski, what's his name?
Brad Davis.
Yep. And, even somebody from Seaford Rangers FC in Australia has joined
us. I saw that. That's pretty
Jamie
cool.
Jamie Dell.
Not to take away from what the guys are doing with TAM's foundation as well, but this is another cool one, and you know, it's all based off performance, so hopefully this leads to people scoring goals, getting assists, winning games, and just doing all that fun stuff.
Yeah, like it's good. You can watch soccer and still do community good all around. There's plenty of things like this. I remember what I felt bad because Nanchoff did a thing to about consent and things like that.
Right.
And then got injured right after announcing it and was out for like most of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And I know he came back and got a couple, but not what he was hoping for probably with that plan.
No.
So yeah, I was going to throw that in there as a just a little news bit, but we can do it as a We Love You.
However you want to do
stay
it.
Stay tuned. We'll have information about Saturday, watch party, etc.
Yeah, follow the Twitters and Facebooks and interwebs.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we're done.
Oh, good. We can bury this.
Yeah. Set last week on fire and throw it out the window. That sounds like a Cure lyric too, actually, but it's not. All right, so we're just going to contribute both of our We Love Yous to Jochen and any other player that signs up. If you'd like to support the show on a continuing basis, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/unusedsubspod. Daily reminder or weekly reminder that I really need to send that art off to Michael for work. if you give us a rating and a review wherever you find the show, whether you're listening to it live right now on Radio St. Pete or through the Simple Radio app. I don't know if there's reviews or stuff in there, but maybe. Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. What do you use for pod? You just use the default Apple podcast app on your phone?
Depends. It's either that or Spotify. Because if I'm home, I'll usually use I'll connect Spotify on the PS4 and just do it that way. So it's just playing through my TV. But if I'm out on the road, I just use the regular Apple podcast.
So there's an app out there that's Apple only right now, but it's coming to Android soon, called Breaker. I don't know if you've ever heard of this one, but they have a interesting little website, and it's, you know, something about how they're all tied in. It kind of like, I think you access it with your, like, through your social accounts, and it, you know, recommends shows based on like who you follow and things like that. But you know, they kind of just pull site, you know, shows down from iTunes as well. So we actually do have a page on there. It's like, I think it's breaker.radio slash unused subspot. It might be .audio. It's one of those dot something DOs. But you can find us on there as well too. They have like buttons for websites. I just came across the other day on someone else's some other podcast website, and I was like, oh, let me check that out.
That's pretty crazy.
So ratings or reviews wherever you can find us. As always, thanks again to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, to Shamrock, and to Pixar. Oh, I do have something. You know, I told you about this earlier in the week. We had the guy on a couple of weeks ago from Garage Soccer talking about Sabutio.
Yes.
He's coming to the Rowdies game on June 9th.
All right.
And we're going to have tables set up at the tailgate.
So awesome. We're
gonna,
that'll be fun.
Set up our own little spot, and he'll be out there and going to come to the game. So if you've never played before like me, you want to come out and see. We might be setting up a tournament the next day down in Sarasota at Shamrock. I'm going to be down in Cape Coral in Pork Rind Land for that day. But if you want to meet up with the Skyway guys and play some Sabutio, then we'll have some more information about that. Speaking of Skyway, you know today's the anniversary?
Yeah, I saw that on the Twitter machine.
38 years ago. Man, I'm even older than that.
I'm not. I wasn't even born yet.
Shut up.
I was, what, 4 or 5 years away from being born?
Whatever. And as always, thanks again to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Any final words?
No. Let's hope next week's show is happier.
Let's make some progress on the bike.
Yeah, let's maybe inflate a tire.
Let's get the handlebars turned the right way.
I can ride my bike with no handlebars.
All right, that's been it from us. Thanks for listening, whether you're listening right now or listening later. We appreciate you all the same. Play that music, Daniel. Changing my mind to nothing rowdies.